we do want to use this episode as a little bit of a platform to say, look who we are and look where we've come from. So we want to give you guys a little rundown of Run. Now, why Run, right? What's up, everybody? This is Run Radio. Yes, that's right. We are no longer Run Lead Gen Radio. So today we want to give you a little bit of context of what we've been doing and what the future of Run, or what was once Run Lead Gen, looks like. So stay tuned, stick around. It's going to be a really fun episode for us.
Yeah, it's been a big change. We are so excited about it. All of our clients that we've shown this to thus far have thought it's been a good change and they like what we're seeing. And I think it's going to help us have a better position in the market and in people's minds, to have more connection with what we do and be easier to remember and easier to pronounce, because I know we've had some pronunciation issues.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister
with the previous name, Run Lead Gen.
That's right. Yeah. So actually, let's give you guys a little bit of context here. So this podcast has historically been all about digital marketing and business growth. And that not much is changing there, except for as much as we have loved having businesses come on and join with us, and we will continue to do that. But the intent now moving forward is to talk about very specific things. You know, very specific use cases. We did this thing, it resulted this way. You know, there's this comment in the SEO world, here's our take and our reaction on it. So we want to give more specific details in our industry to help you guys have a little bit more than just general ideas and, you know, direction, I guess you could say, on your business.
Yeah, I felt like while having different business owners come on, because they are not experts in digital marketing, and that's where we really have some expertise to lend, that's going to help people get more actionable insights, more actionable value. I think we saw some great things with business owners, and we learned a lot along the way, and, you know, found some reoccurring themes, you know, getting through the tough times and having courage to take the leap and go into business. There was a lot of reoccurring themes. I think tenacity is probably the number one reoccurring theme between all those business owners that we've had the opportunity to have a great conversation with, but it's less actionable.
Yeah.
And so,
And something else I'll say about that is it's great. I mean, it's great for networking. So Having people over and learning about their business has been fantastic for relationship building in general, which is a great thing to do for your business. So we have loved the podcast for that reason specifically. But something that we've noticed is, you know, for us to practice what we preach, especially in content creation, you know, we need to be relevant and we need to be comprehensive and we need to be specific. And so, you know, for those that are out there that are trying to grow their business, or for those that need insight on SEO or specific marketing trends, you know, we want to be very specific and speak to those and what's out there. So you can expect to see more of that. And we're going to start it off with today's episode. Today, we want to talk a little bit about the political landscape. This is not a political channel. We hope that we do not say anything that will polarize audiences. It's a difficult thing to do. Basically, anything and everything you say polarizes.
These days, it feels like if you take a step in any direction, even if you don't have a political bias, that there's an existing political bias and a huge amount of people that have very strong feelings about everything
this
day and age. But
and that's understandable. Policy does impact our lives.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes that's downplayed. It's just this or it's just that. And then you have the people on the other side that are getting hit with a change of their life because of a policy that was made. So we want to be as respectful and cognizant of people's experiences in their lives. But we do have a thing that we want to react to today. But before we get into it, so that today's episode, we are going to react a little bit to Elon Musk and some of the current events there. But we do want to use this episode as a little bit of a platform to say, look who we are and look where we've come from. So we want to give you guys a little rundown of Run. Now, why Run, right? We went with Run Lead Gen originally because it was exact match domain. So as SEOs, we were really interested in going after lead generation. It was something that we know that there was volume for. It is a byproduct of what we do. We felt like there was some interesting connotations around things like SEO and marketing that have made it difficult for that landscape. And so we wanted to steer away from being the down your throat spammy marketers. We wanted to show that we're product driven, we're results driven, we're data driven. So we went with Run Lead Gen with the anticipation of saying, hey, we're not just marketers, we're bottom line builders. And this is a byproduct of what we do. The problem with that is we've had a lot of enterprise level clients since our, you know, inception of our company. And I think we've historically seen them kind of scratch their heads and say, why are we doing SEO, you know, technical SEO with a lead generation company? We don't necessarily run lead generation.
Right.
And so, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was going to say that's probably, you know, we also will have people reaching out to us and calling us wanting to buy leads for a particular niche or come to some type of agreement about buying leads when really we help businesses get their own leads versus selling leads. And so it's a very small difference. And we've gone back and forth about that for some particular companies that maybe it did seem like a good idea. However, that's not where our expertise lies. And so,
yeah, we are technical marketers, and the product and the team that we've built, we now have about 15 people that we work with internally on a regular basis, whether they are full-time W-2 employees, contractors, or partners or otherwise. We have a pretty good sized team at this point. And the product that we're building, the product that we've built, is very heavily around technical marketing fulfillment. So doing the stuff that has to get done, the building of campaigns, the custom tracking and conversions, the CRM and the automations, the website and the web development, like some of those really technically difficult things that maybe other agencies kind of shy away from. That's the product that we've built. And so we just have seen, and we've seen this both in like explicit people telling us explicitly, like, wait, I didn't know you did that. You're a lead generation company.
Right.
To like people saying, oh, we hired another company, we didn't know you did that. So we wanted to position ourselves in a place where people could say and see that we do marketing. We do the whole marketing flywheel.
And I thought the transition to Run, number one, I liked that the new name. I really like it. But we went from Run Lead Gen to now being able to go run your SEO. We don't just run Lead Gen. We can run your Google Ads. We can run your paid Facebook.
That's right.
And so it fit really well in my mind to be able to position ourselves for all the things that we do. And it sounded great, and we got a great domain name. And so,
yeah. So I actually want to just briefly take a second here. Rather than have this post edited, I want to, if you're listening in, as this is a podcast, you won't get to see this, but we'll try to describe it to you as we go through. We have a whole new set of brand guidelines, and so we'll show those to those of you that are on Facebook, or I'm sorry, that are on YouTube here. But basically, let's just pull it right up. This is Run. So, I mean, consider yourself, if you're familiar to the Utah landscape, we've got like Domo or Purple, right? You can consider something like Crumble or Chirp. You know, you've got these brands, and we know historically, being marketers, we know that brand has been important, but we've never really prioritized it because we're so focused on what's measurable. And I think brand has been difficult to measure. It's a feeling.
It is. And one of the things that really got me on board for this rebrand is one of the things we've seen in SEO, and Google has come right out and said it through their liaisons, that they want to put people in front of brands that they can trust. And one of the things that we've experienced is certain things like branded search volume really do seem to have an impact on how easy it is for us to get a campaign up and really producing quality rankings and results. And so Google's telling people, hey, go post flyers. You need to build your brand. You need to have business cards. You can't just be a domain. And they have ways that they're measuring that, whether that's through branded search volume or Chrome user experience signals and all the different citations across the web. But brand has become more important, not for just how you're positioned in people's minds, but for SEO.
Performance. Yeah,
it does have an impact on performance as it translates down to how people interact with it.
So we knew, and I've said it 1,000 times and I'll say it again. I hear rebrand and I want to vomit. I hate it. I hate the idea of rebrand. I've seen hundreds of rebrands where it's like it's a Band-Aid on they're trying to fix things. Ultimately, I've understood that, especially from brand people who know brand, that it's been important, but often it yields so much work. It just brings so much work and so much busy work. And so
it's complication.
It's right? A lot of complication.
If someone is going to do a project for you, it's like, oh, let me make sure you have our brand guidelines and you know our tone of voice. And it really is kind of that next step from just running and gunning with a business to caring how you're perceived from all aspects. So,
yeah. So with that, despite knowing it was going to be a pain in the butt, we knew we had to do it. We know that feeling, people are people and we feel things, that was so important. So Run felt clean. It felt and looks like how we feel and look internally. We feel like we're clean and we're organized and we know our product and we know what we do well. And now this shows that externally. So it's easier for our partners and prospective clients to understand what we can do and what we can do for them. So to give you just a little bit of context here, I'll shuffle through these, right? We went all in. And this is also a nice maybe shout out to us. If you had wanted custom web design, it wasn't something that we were really offering or selling. And it is now something that we can do, custom web design, not just out of the box web design. So, getting into the nitty gritty, and I'll show you. So this is the flagship logo here where we use most places. This is some of the conceptualization. So you can see the R being the base of this kind of abstract image. And then we've compiled that and put that together to pay homage to our running man for run lead gen. So it's clean and it's right. And it felt right when we saw it and it looks really good. So you'll be seeing, by the time this video goes live, our socials will be up to date. You know, we've got some of our own, brand guidelines here that will help our internal team, as well as, our own fonts and things, and then to look at how this looks on some swag. But ultimately the idea here is this captures more of what we do, including our proprietary products and services, our CRM, our marketing automation. It just fits us way better. So we're super excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one thing that I've been so excited about is the domain name. And my entire life in the 24, however many years I've been doing digital marketing at this point, I didn't ever think that I'd be willing to pay a premium for a domain. And I'm not going to say how much we paid for it, but someone else did own the domain we ended up with. We really liked Run Digital. And Run was owned by a really big company, and we didn't even approach that.
But they told us it was going to be like,
oh, wait,
yeah. Eight figures or That's something right. crazy.
That's right. You did hear back from them. But the next run-up that we really liked was Run Digital. And we went through a bunch of different variations. Run.digital. Run. There's so many ways that it could be used. But I'm really pleased with the domain name and how that plays into the services that we offer for our partners, and it helps encapsulate everything. So,
yeah. So hopefully we didn't lose you on that. It's really exciting for us, and there's a lot that goes into it. Obviously, you know, we can talk, and we will have videos about, you know, properly preparing for a site migration. Properly preparing for a migration of, I mean, we've got Google Workspace that we're migrating. We've got our CRM platform itself. We've got all this content. We have all of our social media platform. It is a considerable, sizable overhaul to get
rebrand. Absolutely. There's so many details that we don't realize after having been running the company has run lead gen for so many years, the number of assets, the number of pages in the website, getting up to a really large website as we've posted all of the content that we're targeting for SEO and all of the podcast episodes. There ends up being a lot there that had to migrate over, and then just really taking the time to pay attention to detail with this migration, that we are at the brand level and making sure we're hitting all of those details has been really important. And it's also given us a little bit of time to really analyze our entire tech stack and what goes into making changes there and migrations there when you're completely shifting brand, and making sure that we're still capitalizing on all the opportunities as it comes from where and how we host our CDN, everything.
That's so right. So I'm trying to pull up our marketing flywheel. I'll put it here just in front of us. But basically, this expands the way that we have how much we can offer to clients, partners, and prospective partners. So if you'll notice here, I'm going to put it right here. This is actually that same kind of R symbol. And then we've gone through the different stages of a client acquisition cycle and show you how a particular service like SEO or PPC or paid ads on social ultimately play a part in the whole client acquisition model. And why that's important for us to communicate to prospective partners is that, like I said earlier, the whole reason why we went down the path of run lead gen is we want to make it explicitly clear how we are different than most marketing agencies. We are not here just to increase your organic presence, but to drive that traffic down to your bottom line. Ultimately, what value does it provide you? You know, too many people stop there.
Yeah, I agree. It's more than just showing the green arrow in analytics. We're getting in there and we're looking at the entire marketing flywheel, all the way from a lead acquisition to someone becoming a client, identifying that cost per client acquisition to lifetime value ratio by channel, and then helping people scale smarter.
That's right. This is the new slogan as well. Grow fast. It's important. The reason why we say grow fast is because speed, velocity, timeliness is certainly important.
Well, so one of the other things is we've positioned ourselves to be very nimble. We get the ball down the field. That's why I often refer to it as we're meeting with our clients weekly. We're getting a ton done. We like to provide value, and so we really go after it. In comparison to we have partners that have agencies that are fulfilling other products for them. For example, social, where they do big things can sometimes move slow.
That's right.
And we've seen them now be engaged with this company for maybe 6 months. And thus far, they've gotten kind of some messaging ideas and maybe a small handful of posts onto social media with low engagement, really, at a high price tag. And so I think the grow fast is really, really representative of what we're trying to do, is put those marketing dollars to work and growing your bottom line, not just, hey, now we're doing the thing. Yes, we're tackling social media. Yes, we're doing SEO. We are doing this the right way with all of the details, going fast and having all the data to scale smart.
That's right. Yeah. So the speed part of this is we've seen speed or the lack thereof be a factor that will cripple businesses. If you can't get, no matter, you can be the best of the best, but if you can't get that stuff done in a relatively reasonable amount of time, that has considerable impact. And so that's the grow fast, the scale and scale smart, but scale we know has had historically some negative connotations because people use it willy-nilly. They just, everybody throws it out and it's kind of become this overused, overestimated word. But scale is important. And if you understand what you're trying to do with scale, the ability to create a product and a service that can be done for more people is what enables you eventually to build a business beyond yourself. Everybody wants scale. So whether or not it has negative connotation, we're trying to then say, how do we shift that feeling around this goofy word that we've used too many people in the industry have used too lightly and too often? We're saying scale smart, meaning you have to do it right. You have to have the right components in place at the right time to be able to scale. Otherwise, you're just going to grow beyond yourself and not be able to fulfill. And you create a bad product and you didn't scale at all. You pretended to scale and ultimately you're going to shoot yourself in the foot and you'll never regain it.
I think I look at that part of our new slogan, Scale Smart, through the lens of we are increasing, you know, your marketing budget and your ads budget. And we're doing it in a way that is smart because any agency can say, give me your credit card. I will get you a bunch of traffic.
Right.
And with that, you know, did your campaigns learn? Did you learn? Did you increase the overall value of those assets because you did it with the right plan in place? And it's done in a way that actually is effective for your budget to be able to continue growing. Because if you just throw money at the issue, you're not always going to be able to continue to scale that up, right? It has to be done the right way. And so that was another aspect of Scale Smart that I really liked.
So if you want more information, hopefully by the time this video airs, rundigital.com will be live. You can go into the About page. You can kind of get more details about how we landed where we did and our core values. It'll be really slick, really clean, and we encourage you to go check it out. But now that we've kind of got off our high horse, our pedestal, the moment that we've been waiting for, this new kind of format that we want to test out on this podcast, we want to react to current events and things that are happening right now. So if you're not aware, there is a new entity that has been hired by the candidate, the presidency, to ultimately come in and help remove bloat and fraud and unnecessary spending.
DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency.
Right. Now, I know that may trigger a lot of people for a lot of different ways, right? I know that there are some really nuanced, difficult things around, you know, I hear about USAID. And so I want to tread very carefully and very lightly. But I did listen yesterday. Today's Valentine's Day. So yesterday, the 13th, I watched the kind of unorthodox press release at the Oval Office with Elon. And I try to take everything at face value from my perspective, the best that I can without everybody else's opinions. I want to hear it firsthand and I want to get my own opinion. And I'm listening to Elon and surely, you know, he's putting on a face for the cameras. But as I listen to him, I'm saying reasonable things that he's saying, you know, people that are on the no pay list that have been paid for years, contracts that ended after three months that have been paid for years, government entities that are spending U.S. tax dollars on things that have no purpose.
Things that sound crazy sometimes.
Crazy stuff. Now, I will say I've spent most of the last 10 years in a corporate office. And so I'm used to the corporate jargon and language. And Elon definitely speaks that way. So maybe I was resonating with some of that as well. But ultimately, I felt really positive that somebody who has built a profitable business, because that's all we're talking about here, is profitability, business, scalability. Elon has done it. And he's got good people in place. He's got good products. He's got good services. Somebody like that could theoretically come in and help with the fact that we have like $30 trillion of debt.
A yearly $3 trillion deficit.
It's just unreasonable. So I've said this before when people come to me and say, you know, this policy or that policy, and it may sound a little cold, but it's like we're talking about how to hang the pictures on the walls or where, you know, how we want to orient rooms and the house is on fire. You know, if I was in a equally amount of debt that the nation is today, it's crippling. What could I do? I would literally be crippled to my ability to utilize any buying power. And so I personally have felt like that has been a breath of fresh air, but I get that there is a lot of nuance there. But ultimately,
so as a lot of watchers may know, Elon Musk also owns X, or previously Twitter.
Right.
And what we've seen is, at least in the SEO space in particular, that there's been a lot of SEOs that do not agree, and as some form of protest, or because they don't like the angle that Twitter is now their For You tab, the algorithm is feeding them stuff they don't like. But there has been essentially an exodus on Twitter, and there is a SEO on Twitter that I follow named Martin McDonald, and he actually hosts the SEO meetup in Barbados every year. It looks very fun. I plan to one day
get to go to that. Feel free to invite.
Yeah. Martin, if you need some speakers at SEO Barbados next year, don't
hesitate to ask.
Yeah. You've got two guys that are happy to speak. But so he said, SEOs of Twitter, is this place dead right now? Best I can tell, this platform is reserved for right versus left wing hate. And since the election and the Department of Government Efficiency, everything is very polarized online. And we have seen a lot of that. And then scammers, which everybody knows that online is prone to scammers. The SEO industry is prone to, I don't know if you want to call them scammers or people that are just stuck in like 10 years ago, or people that are hoping they can get some marketing budget that you'll set and forget and you just pay them. But, and then adult stuff. And he's like, did I miss something? Like, what happened to Twitter? Because SEO Twitter was previously a place that I would visit to go and see.
What are people saying?
Yeah. What are people saying? What's going on? The latest, you know, when the Google leak came out, everybody was on SEO Twitter, and that's where the entire industry was pulling apart, going through line by line of what we were learning about the algorithm and how Google uses that. And so I thought it was really interesting to see someone that's prominent on Twitter bringing that up, that, hey, look at how this political thing essentially has had an impact on social media. It's had an impact on social media in particular for us in our industry. So it's been very interesting.
Yeah.
I personally still like Twitter to some degree, but I can see what he's saying. There is the algorithms, and the For You tab has absolutely gotten a little bit heated and biased. But I think anyone that's watching the news right now understands that that is also the case. But
yeah. And I would say that that extends to Meta. I mean, so post-election, we all saw the video of Zuckerberg on Meta saying how influenced they had been by the previous candidacy to do certain things. And he's coming kind of come clean.
He's going to rebrand himself as well from being very politically left and supporting with a lot of money, putting a lot of money into politics, to now taking a step back and being more free speech oriented, which has a connotation in and of itself right now, saying free speech, because I think people view that through
triggers.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody's triggered. And it is something that honestly I have a hard time to want to talk about on the podcast, because I don't really have a bias one way or another to care enough to weigh into something that can sometimes feel so heated, and or want to segment ourselves from people that might feel a certain way about us even discussing the topic.
That's right. Yeah, and I think that's partially why we've kind of danced on the outskirts in the podcast, and I think that's partially why we haven't seen quite as much interaction and success as we might have hoped initially. So we're diving in, and we are saying that we do have opinions. You know, we do lean certain ways on certain political standpoints. We hope that that doesn't scare you off, but that actually entices you to listen in, because we consider ourselves critical thinkers, and we want to come to the table with our perspective. We have a say, and we believe our say has merit and value and weight, as we've got expertise and knowledge behind them.
Yeah. And in the future, you know, we're hoping to share our, not just our expertise and what we know applies generally, but our personal opinion on some of the things that we see happen in the marketing industry like this.
That's right.
So,
all right, you guys, well, that's it for today. We're going to try our new sign off here. But we encourage you to like and subscribe, comment, share out with your friends. This is intended to continue to be a weekly podcast where we're diving into specific things on marketing, on current trends, on use cases that we, you know, things that we did that we saw that worked for businesses and maybe things that didn't work.
And if you are totally upset that we weighed in on what's been happening on Twitter because of the election and Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency, go ahead and you can get mad at us in the comments. It's okay.
So this is Quinn
and Brian
with Run, Grow Fast,
Scale Smart.
Thanks, you guys.